सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंति कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रिंस कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री भासदि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण को गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरी गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। श्री मथुरा धाम की जय। श्री द्वारक धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगमयी की जय। यमुनामयी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदी। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली गॉड्स। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली गॉड्स। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीशुक उवाच अथ सर्वगुणोपेथ काल परमशोभनः जनजन्मक्षं संतर्क्षग्रहतारकं।
Thereafter, at the auspicious time for the appearance of the Lord, the entire universe was surcharged with all the qualities of goodness, beauty, and peace. Constellation Rohini appeared, as did stars like Aswini. The sun, the moon, and the other stars and planets were very peaceful. All directions appeared extremely pleasing, and the beautiful stars twinkled in the cloudless sky. Decorated with towns, villages, mines, and pasturing grounds, the earth seemed all auspicious. The rivers flowed with clear water, and the lakes and vast reservoirs full of lilies and lotuses were extraordinarily beautiful. In the trees and green plants, full of flowers and leaves, pleasing to the eyes, birds like cuckoos and swarms of bees began chanting with sweet voices for the sake of the demigods. A pure breeze began to blow, pleasing the sense of touch and bearing the aroma of flowers. And when the Brahmins, engaging in ritualistic ceremonies, ignited their fires, according to Vedic principles, the fires burned steadily, undisturbed by the breeze. Thus, when the birthless Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to appear, the saints and the Brahmins, who had always been disturbed by demons like Kamsa and his men, felt peace within the core of their hearts, and kettle drums simultaneously vibrated planetary system. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his appearance, birth, and activities are all transcendental, and that one who factually understands them is immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord's appearance or birth is not like that of an ordinary man who is forced to accept a material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in this previous chapter. Appears out of his own sweet pleasure. When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became very auspicious. The astrological influence of the constellation known as Rohini was also predominant, because this constellation is considered very auspicious. Rohini is under the direct supervision of Brahma, who is born of Vishnu. And it appears at the birth of Lord Vishnu, who is in fact birthless. According to the astrological conclusion, besides the proper situation of the stars, there are auspicious and inauspicious moments due to the different situations of the different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. That time, in all directions, east, west, south, north, everywhere, atmosphere of peace and prosperity. Auspicious stars were visible in the sky and on the surface in all the towns and villages or pasturing grounds, and within the mind of everyone there were signs of good fortune. Rivers were flowing full of water, and the lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full with beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forest began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance with their consorts. The wind blew very pleasingly, carrying the aroma of different flowers, and the sensation of bodily touch was very pleasing. At home, the Brahmins, who were accustomed to offer sacrifices in the fire, found their homes very pleasant for offerings. Because of disturbances created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire had almost been stopped in the houses of the Brahmins. Now they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the Brahmins were very distressed in mind, intelligence, and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became full of joy because they could hear loud vibrations in the sky of transcendental sounds proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the occasion of Lord Krishna's birth, seasonal changes took place throughout the entire universe. Krishna was born during the month of September, yet it appeared like springtime. The atmosphere, however, was very cool, though not chilly, and the rivers and reservoirs appeared just as they would in Sharat, the fall. Lotuses and lilies blossomed during the day, but although Krishna appeared at 12 o'clock midnight, the lilies and lotuses were in full bloom, and thus the wind blowing at that time was full of fragrance. Because of Kamsa's disturbances, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies had almost stopped. Brahmins and saintly persons could not execute the Vedic rituals with peaceful minds. But now the Brahmins were very pleased to perform their daily ritualistic ceremonies undisturbed. The business of the Asuras is to disturb the Suras, Bodhis and Brahmins. The time of Krishna's appearance, these and Brahmins were undisturbed. Om Shalakaya Chakshuru Miditam Sri Guru Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Tadishva Padantikam Eham Sri Guru Sri Yudha Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Vamsa Jivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gauramji Radhe Vrindavaneshwari
वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णा चैतन्या प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Swami is revealing Krishna himself. Krishna appeared as of misery, chains behind him. Actually appears in of Krishna consciousness. One who even while instead of giving up, blaming others, his soul could do great, blame others for up. Where is God? Should I have faith? Why is this doing? Why is this happening to me? Criticize, to blame, to find faults. And Hare Krishna, don't criticize others, I will deliver you. Propensity. Savor the nectar of scandals. You should understand Krishna conscious. Swami says, symptom of a Krishna conscious person, you lose the seat to find fault. It's repeated throughout. It is a principle, cardinal, foundational principle of bhakti. Person who has the right for liberation, for Krishna. That person who is being put through torturous difficulties, instead of complaining, instead of giving up, instead of blaming others, with a grateful heart, genuinely grateful heart, grateful in a time of crisis. Nature really is meant to make us. Theories are there. When we just wake up and get it, we're humbled by material nature. There are powers beyond other people to be the way I think they should be. Controller. Fine. We don't go our way. Submit ourselves before God. Yes, such a devotee considers whatever miseries are coming upon me, all my own destiny, happening by my own karmas. A devotee doesn't blame himself for the karmas either. Really depressed. Depression has no place in bhakti. Depression is simply to give up. Brings your enthusiasm. How can it that we can consider that what's happening is my own karma and not become depressed? And yes, I may have done stupid things in the past and that's why this may be coming to me. The past is the past. My destiny is being made right now by what I decide to do in the present. Yes, I have no one to blame. Krishna, I bow down to you. Why? Because in this suffering, Trinity, surrender. You have given me the opportunity to be graces from my heart to you. Therefore, happy in that situation. The devotee is happy in taking shelter of Krishna, no matter what the situation may be. That's where real happiness is. Happiness is not when things go good, and things are not when happiness is not when things go bad. Bhakti, the standard of happiness, is when we take shelter of Krishna, the source of all happiness. That's happiness of the soul. Krishna consciousness should be no boredom, challenge. When things are going really good and they're going our way, it's a challenge not to become complacent, not to become proud. Take shelter of the holy name, to take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, to take shelter of our prayers to the Lord, initiation of devotees. Tendency is to fall back into our conditioned state, pressed, becoming angry, blaming others, finding reasons, all we have to do is to thank you. And at that point, say that from the core of our hearts in a difficult situation. It has to be midnight. It could be any time of the day. Eighth day of the moon of the Madra. It could be any day, any time. While in this material existence, shackles of Maya, simply say, Krishna, I'm yours. Thank you. That state chant his holy names.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna manifests Vishnu. I'm going to go on birth after birth of trying to just make a choice. Krishna's possible time is when he did it. During the lunar eclipse, actually smarter Brahmins are very much considerate, unlucky and inauspicious. They put all kinds of shields on all the windows, touched by the light of it. In their house, they throw out because it's... They close the deities, and close the time, and but weep. Everybody to ward off this most inauspicious time. They all were chanting Hari Hari. The rest of the time, they were doing puja for Durga, or Manasi, the snake goddess. Mundane material reasons. Presence of something so inauspicious, then they chant the names of Hari. Traditionally in Bengal, worship Durga their whole lives. But when somebody's dying, they chant the names of Hari. It's actually Hari that delivers us. And it was most inauspicious. Everyone was chanting Hari. The Lord induced them to do so. And transforming the inauspicious into auspicious. Inauspicious times and difficult times, try to change difficulties. Just by hearing it, a sincere heart in itself can award the ultimate liberation. Dhanma karma cha me divyam evam yogetita. Yakva deham punarajanma naiti mameti sura. Dhanma karma, astali. One who simply knows the transcendental nature of my janama, my appearance, and my karma, my activities, abode and enter into my loving pastimes once again. So enthusiasm with eagerness, activities, such a gift, it's such a blessing. Janamastami is so auspicious. Krishna appears in such an extraordinary way in this world, and he gives the blessings for the rest of time, for the rest of eternity. Anyone who just hears about how I appeared in the world, submissive, hears without offenses, eternal pastime. That is the power of this narration. But stresses, Krishna appeared about 5,000 years ago by his mercy. The transcendental sound vibration of the narration of how he spoke is none different from the event itself. This is Krishna's love. There's no limitations due to time or geography in Krishna's mercy. Can you understand? Can we appreciate what's been given to us? By hearing this narration, we're not just hearing history. We're there. At the present moment, it's happening. In this room, in our heart, Krishna is taking birth. Because the sound vibration is the Leela itself. Beyond time. Sorry. I was into the Anand Ashram. Dasha. Sure, to Kirtan. They spent the night there, the devotee.
My brother Hayagriva Prabhu.
Sahi looking at this dream. Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita to our dream changed, and where Krishna was Prabhupada, and Arjuna was him, and Prabhupada was speaking Bhagavad Gita to him. Went the next morning and told Srila Prabhupada about this, and it seemed to me that Krishna speaking to Arjuna and you're speaking to me was the same thing. This is parampara. Every time we pick up the pages of Bhagavad Gita, according to the receptivity of our humility and eagerness to hear, there, in Kurukshetra, witnessing the discussion. In fact, Krishna is speaking to you. Every time you pick up this book, every time you come to a class, it's a matter of our receptivity. Yes, janma karma. It is transcendental. It is beyond place. It is beyond time. This transcendental sound vibration, if we simply hear it in the proper state of mind and remember it, speak something about this time of Lord Krishna's appearance. How is it possible? The unborn, the infinite child. He told Maharaj Pariksit, I am being empowered to speak. Transcendental knowledge to be transferred requires two principal ingredients. A speaker was not inventing anything, speaking according to the parampara, no ulterior motives, and listeners really eager to hear, who are hearing with an eagerness and a sense of need, hunger. I need to hear this than anything else in the world, more than what's ringing on my cellular phone. I need to hear this more than I need to eat or sleep. I need to hear this more than I need to think about my business or my family problems or my anxieties or my aspirations in this world. I need to hear this more than anything else. It is a matter of desperation. Souls depending on it. Spiritual life is depending on it. Open in that way, the message pierces and awakens soul. Swami begins, glory, marriage ceremony. Daughter of Devaka, married Surasena, grand marriage. That marriage, very powerful Sena, elder cousin brother, Devaki, of love and affection for his sister, accepted the role of chariot driver. Rai Vasudeva. The Prabhupada explains that Vedic times, a girl would live with her father and mother. In time of marriage, just after, she would go to her husband's home. Naturally, it was kind of a lonely experience for them. Her days, escape from the house as soon as they can. They're just eager to graduate high school so they can go off to college and get away from their parents. That is a girl should have been nourished by parents. Just to pacify older brother, escort, Devaka, gifts. He sent with Devaki hundreds of her best friends to go live with her. Well, maidservants, but Prabhupada explains they weren't actually maidservants, they were her best friends. She just didn't feel lonely when she went to another house. Elephants decorated with gold embroidery, golden chariots, and he gave cows with auctions. The session was grand. Brahmins singing auspicious hymns. Musicians playing on Hamsa's drive. Filled with apparent affection for his sister. Until, from the sky, echoed an invisible voice. Kamsa! You are a fool. Not what Kamsa likes to hear. Because ego. So was so strong that each of his arms were like 10. But his ego was probably a million. Great insult coming from the sky. And even with arms like 10,000 elephants, who are you going to beat up? If anyone came before him and said, Kamsa, you are a fool, that person would be immediately exterminated. Demigod would have said it. There would have been a universal war. It's an invisible voice. Kamsa, you are a fool. You are driving your sister with so much care and affection, but you do not know that the eighth child of Devaki will be the cause of your death. Kamsa immediately reacted. His heart just exploded with anger. With his hand, he grabbed the hair of Devaki, pulled her up, drew his sword to kill her. So Dev, save his life. By any means, he had to say something. He folded his hands, offered all respect to Kamsa. Friends, when you're dealing with such a powerful materialistic demon like Kamsa, necessary to often you. Here's Vasudeva, who is worthy of all praise. Kamsa is simply a condemned nonsense. Just, no, we must do this because it is right. Most important is to fulfill the higher purpose, the honored and respected and worthy of all of it. Consider what you're about to do. Bodhananda Saraswati. Formula for preaching. It's interesting because when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati first sent sannyasis and very leading preachers to the West to preach, Prabhupada, strong your teeth, approach these people, folded hands, great respect, say you are an honorable person, you are a very learned person,
worthy of our respect. Now, my dear sir, please add everything you've learned, because it's all that.
By the time you speak the truth, he's already open. Vasudev,
he's consul. Such a great reputation.
Damn forever.
Kill your own sister, a woman, on the auspicious day of her marriage.
Death is inevitable. Material nature has created us in such a way. Body must die. Great personality like you, Kamsa, is not afraid of death. Lives and acts in such a way. Fertile fame. The evolution of consciousness. What are you doing? Why should you be afraid of death? The inevitable. It has to happen.
It's like a traveler who is going from one place to another. And when the front foot is secure, he lifts the back foot and gives up his position.
Ant worm, going from leaf to leaf, it picks itself up and goes on one leaf, and then the backside gives up the other leaf. Similarly, we have to give up our previous bodies. We have to give up our present bodies for our future bodies.
Why should we lament? Why should we be afraid? It's just the way nature works. State of mind at the death, that's what we're going to obtain. Why do you want to pollute your mind and engage in this most abominable activity of killing your own sister? Man of your stature comes. He could not hear a word of it. He was on the verge of slaying his own sister.
He was thinking, somehow or other I have to postpone this problem. And then he addressed Kamsa. You have nothing to fear from your sister. According to this voice, it's the eighth child of your sister that's supposed to kill you.
We may not even have any children.
Then there's nothing to worry about.
And I give my word. I promise you that any child that is born of Devaki and myself, I will immediately present that child to you, and you can do anything you want with that child.
Kamsa,
even though he was such a hard, arrogant asura,
Vasudev could die a million deaths, but he would never break his word.
In fact, in this age of Kali Yuga, audacity, truthfulness is the only surviving. He was such a man of stature. Kamsa knew Vasudev would rather lose all his children, even lose his own life, never break a promise.
Trust each other? I can't trust you, and I can't trust you, and who can I trust? Trust.
Trust you. We may not have control over how everybody else is, but we do have control over how we are. We're honest. Trust us. If we're simple.
Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said the first qualification for a devotee is simplicity.
Simplicity. Without duplicity. Vasudeva was so honest, so simple. There was no duplicity. Can you imagine? Not only did everyone in the entire Yadu dynasty have complete trust in him, even Kamsa, his heart was transformed because of the simplicity and honesty of Vasudeva. He makes his promise, 100% he will keep it. Kamsa was willing to put his life on the line.
After a first child was born, honest, that little newborn infant,
and presented him to Kamsa. How many of you would do that?
Living on his own. They could have gone out and gone into exile.
Child. Kamsa's heart melted. The power of a Vaishnava. He melted even Kamsa's heart.
Kamsa said, no, no.
He was amazed. You actually giving me your child? This little infant? Knowing that I could murder it? Still, you brought it here? This is the power of your integrity? Take your child home. I offer all my respects to you, Vasudev. Amazing. Take your child home. It's not this child, it's the eighth child.
Because he knew that
never trust a person who's unable to control their mind and senses.
Their own purposes.
People who are slaves of their senses and driven by the uncontrolled mind.
Can do acting the worst.
greatest acharyas of our sampradaya appeared on the scene. Narada Muni went to visit Kamsa. This is one of the most unbelievable stories. Narada Muni is so transcendental. He was so eager to see Krishna. He was so eager to accelerate Krishna's appearance in this world. Kamsa had a soft heart. Kamsa already decided, I'm going to let all the kids live, let Vasudev and Devaki be free and happy, and when the eighth child comes, if there is an eighth child, then I will kill it. That was his inner chambers. Kamsa, be what I know. Eating the shore of the ocean of milk and all that stuff. What happened is, and all these demons on the earth, she was suffering. All of her resources were being exploited by selfish, egoistic demons. So in a lamentable state, piteous condition, she took the form of a cow, innocent, helpless cow, tears in her eyes. Lord Brahma explained. Lord Brahma gathered Lord Shiva, and Narada Muni was there, and all others, and they went. Demigods, they went to the ocean, to the Svetadvip, spiritual planet within this universe, ocean of milk. And in the center of that ocean of milk is the residence of Lord Vishnu, Kshirodakshani Vishnu, Shushumta prayers. Prayer that the devatas offer when they sincerely want the Lord to descend. They offer Purushushumta prayers, but nothing happened. It doesn't have to appear. Independent, autocrat, responds to devotion. Lord Brahma, father and guru of the whole universe, he sat down in meditation on the lore of his heart. Reciprocation to his devotion, spoke, gave the message. You should all expand yourselves to take birth. Rishi dynasty, Daka dynasty. Because I am going to appear within the world. Nanaya sadhunam vinashayatra duskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami juke juke. Attempt to annihilate the miscreants, to re-establish true principles of religion, I descend in this world. Ahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Nama dharmasya tadatmanam sraja. Whenever and wherever there is a rise in irreligion, decline in religion, millennium after millennium, Kamsa. Kamsa. Demigods are your worst enemies. They're all over the place. They're all taking birth. And Vishnu, he can take birth as any of these children of Devaki. Beware. Let me tell you something else. In your previous life, you were a demon named Kaladevi. Battle, the ocean of milk, near it, on the shore. That time, Lord Vishnu, riding on Garuda, killed you. And you vowed in your heart to get revenge. And now here you are as Kamsa, and Vishnu's coming back to kill you again. And he can be born anywhere, at any time. Just wanted to inform you of this. Narada Muni left. Kamsa was outraged. He immediately sent his guards. They dragged Devaki and Vasudeva, put him in an underground prison, shackled them with iron chains, bars all around them, stone walls, guards with spears. As the story continues, we'll understand how this was the compassion of Narada Muni. Not only for the children, not only for Vasudeva and Devaki, universal creation. He was instrumental in bringing the Lord and fulfilling so many benedictions. Krishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyena Pujari. Difficult to understand the mind of a devotee. A great Vaishnava. Sometimes they appear to be doing something, but great Vaishnavas, they always have pure love and compassion as their motivation. And I understand exactly what they're doing or why they're doing it. We're seeing with mundane vision. Our guru, param param guru, Prabhupada would often say, we are in the disciplic succession of Narada Muni. And imitate him. Worship him. Of compassion. There, Devaki, Vasudeva are in prison. Child is born. actually, as soon as Kamsa imprisoned them, he took the little baby and dashed it against a stone right in front of Devaki and Vasudeva. Just pummeled it. Just smashed it till it was just a bloody mess. Imagine the pain of Vasudeva, a child murdered. So brutal. And when Kamsa would do it, he would be laughing. Same thing. Six consecutive children murdered by Kamsa in that prison house.
That time,
Sri Balaram, the first expansion of the Supreme Personality of God appeared in Devaki's womb. There for Krishna's arrival, she became extraordinarily beautiful. Seventh child, Kamsa waited. Krishna called his Yogamaya potency, gave her an instruction. It said, Rohini, who is another wife of Vasudeva, she saw the persecution of her husband. And Kamsa was actually, after Narada Muni spoke to him, he became so terribly demonic. He just went wild. First thing he did is he took his own father, Ugrasena, who was the predominant king of all these dynasties, and he threw his father in jail. And thinking that any of the demigods could have been the people in the Yadu dynasty, he started persecuting and murdering the people of the Yadu dynasty. And all of the kings, they couldn't stand before Kamsa. They all escaped and went into hiding. Some of them lived in caves, in the jungles, and in the mountains. Others went to different areas where there were pious kings. It was terrible. It was terrible. Kamsa divided and conquered. He divided all of these different dynasties. He created fear. And then he made allies with all these great demons. According to Garga Samhita, Kamsa went all over the universe, challenged the most demoniac people to fights. And he beat all of them and had all of them, each one of them, he would bring them to right to the verge of killing them. And then made them vow that he would be their ally and their servant. They would be his ally and servant. Chanura, Mustika, Banasura, Agat, Agasura, Putana, Trinavarta, Denugasura, Pralambasura, Keshi, Vatsasura, Shakatasura. He approached all of them. Made allies. And he made allies with Jarasandha, the king of Magadha. He had the most powerful forces. No one could stand before him. Kamsa became the predominating king of the planet. What did anyone do? Noble and good kings, they were hiding and running. Kamsa, the Andaka, the Bhoja, the Vrishni, the Yadu dynasty, he just became the controller of all of them. All this terrorism, persecution, and death. She asked her husband to take shelter. Vasudeva sent Rohini on a horse secretly. She went. She instructed Yogamaya. She was in her seventh month of pregnancy. Krishna told Yogamaya, transfer. Then after that, I will personally enter. And as far as you, you should enter the womb of Yashoda. Prabhupada quotes famed. The seventh month, she was sleeping. She had a dream. She felt that she had a miscarriage. She was very much startled. She woke up and she discovered she actually did have a miscarriage. She lamented. At least she thought she did. She lamented. Spoke. Stress. I have done this. Child in the womb of Devaki is going to be transferred into your womb. According to our Vaishnava Acharyas, in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, Rohini is the eternal mother of Balaram. Original Balaram was in her womb, then the child of Devaki came and merged into that child. She was was an expansion of Baladeva.
Shravan,
right full moon, Shri Balaramji was born.
Jai!
Balaramji.
Born home of Nandan Yashoda.
Beautiful complexion like a white spring cloud, just like eyes. Radiant of beauty.
Because this child is being transferred from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb,
Shankarshan, because he has united two dynasties. Because he will display tremendous strength. His name will be Bala. Baladev. Because he will take great pleasure, Ramana, in displaying this strength, Bala, known as Balarama. Just after that, Krishna entered the Devaki, original servitor Godhead. He's the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. He's God himself, but always in the mood of servant, Krishna, himself. Wonderful, wonderful arrangements for Krishna's Leela, other people to reciprocate with Krishna. In the spiritual world, Balaram is Krishna's, or he expands himself as Krishna's abode, Goloka. He expands himself as Krishna's seat, Krishna's bed, Krishna's clothes, Krishna's shoes. Every way, he's just serving. Original spiritual master. There's our heart. Krishna's arrival. Guru does. Spiritual masters, the Diksha Gurus, the Shiksha Gurus, by their instructions, by their inspiration, by the grace that they access, there are hearts, Krishna's appearance. They help us to clear away all the obstacles in the anarchy. Same way, Balaram entered Devaki's to completely prepare it and make it totally auspicious for Krishna's coming. It's our hearts. Instruct through his instructions. Krishna appeared in Devaki's womb, chick with beauty, like ever seen. Usually people are very happy when they see beauty, so it's not happy. He saw the beauty of Devaki. It's a supernatural, extraordinary, spiritual form of beauty. He knew Vishnu, my dreaded enemy, has entered her womb. He started arguing with himself in his own mind. Should I kill her right now on the spot? No. Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. It was a battle. Mind is indecision. If I were to kill Devaki now, I would ruin my reputation forever. I'd kill a helpless, innocent woman when she's pregnant, in jail. What happened to my fame? I have nothing to fear from her. As soon as that child is born, I will slay it. Issue, and it's my destiny to be killed by him. What can I do? Why should I kill a woman when I'm going to be killed anyway? But I will kill that child, day and night, immersed, meditating on Vishnu. Anger. Whether he was sleeping all night long, he would just dream about Vishnu. Hatred. When he was eating, he was food, he was thinking about Vishnu. Heart just churning with anger. Fear. When he was walking, Vishnu. See Vishnu. Even where Vishnu was so immersed in Vishnu. He was sitting, talking to somebody, his words were just superficial, and his mind was just Vishnu. All but explains. Krishna conscious. He's thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. In Narada Muni, in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he tells Maharaj Yudhishthira, people like Shishupal and Kamsa, they're better than me. They're always thinking of Krishna. Kamsa's thinking of Krishna in anger and fear. Shishupal in envy. Gopis in passion. Pandavas as friends. Any way to think of Krishna is all auspicious. Prabhupada explains, but Kamsa was not a devotee. Because he was thinking of Krishna unfavorably. His motive was to kill Krishna with hatred of Krishna. Who tries to absorb him or herself in remembering Krishna, in a hunt to serve Krishna and please Krishna by favorable means. So beautiful. Could not be appreciated by anyone. It was only Vasudeva and these demoniac guards that saw her. She was like a lamp contained in a dark, closed closet. Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna entered into her. Witnessed the spiritual world manifest in his heart. There he saw the supreme personality of God's heart. and he worshiped the Lord with purity. That Lord, with from his heart, entered into the heart of Devaki.
Prabhupada gives the example. Just like when the sun is setting, rising, the sun transfers. Same way, Vasudeva,
the Lord transferred and manifested into the heart of Devaki. And from her heart, entered into her womb. Apsa doubled, tripled, quadrupled the guards. 24 hours, they were on red alert. As soon as that child was going to be born, they would inform Kamsa, red alert. He would rush down to kill it. This day, dark prison house of Kamsa, the city of Mathura, gathering together, see, child in the womb. Bhavis is sometimes, see these, get glimpses of these divine beings, sure. Krishna. At midnight, eighth day, Adra, everything became auspicious. Read about it in this wonderful verse class to today's verse. The constellations were ultimately auspicious. The star Rohini, intimately connected to Lord Brahma, took predominance. All the different planets were in the most perfect configurations with each other. Lotus flowers were blooming in all the lakes and rivers throughout the world. Brahmins persecuted, bidden to do any spiritual activities by Kamsa. Stressed for years, their minds were fully peaceful. And they all fearlessly began to perform yajnas, singing, dancing. All the best of every season was simultaneously manifested at the same time. The Supreme Personality of God existed. Not like an ordinary child's birth. There was no labor pains or any that. Inside her heart, he just appeared outside. It's a beautiful baby. That baby had a dark blue complexion like a divine sapphire, luxurious lotus-like eyes, a golden, jewel-bedecked crown. Kostubamani, the Kostuba jewel, was hanging from a golden necklace on his chest. Vaidurya stone was in the center of his crown. He had a long garland, celestial flowers that extended below his. He was dressed in cloth that was yellow and bright as lightning, and bracelets and ankle bells, or arms, holding the conch shell, the disc, the lotus flower, and the cloth, just in the air, giving darshan to Vasudeva and Devaki. And they bowed down their heads on the ground and with folded hands offered prayer. Vasudeva offered beautiful of love and devotion, extolling the Lord as the supreme creator of all that exists, source of shelter for his devotees. Then Devaki, with folded hands and tears of love in her eyes, she offered beautiful. After offering her prayers of the Lord, she expressed the heart torment that she endured. She loved Krishna more than anything. As a mother, she was thinking, if Kamsa sees you like this with four arms, he's going to know you're Vishnu. And he's going to try to find you. He's going to kill you. So please, make yourself invisible. Appear like an ordinary child so we can hide you somewhere so Kamsa doesn't kill you. Then Lord Krishna spoke. Because you are my devotees and you worship me with love, I have appeared in this form. I have appeared in this form just so you will know that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's lives. Long ago, you were two Prajapatis, Sutapa and Prishti. And Lord Brahma instructed you to perform tapasya. His blessings, you went to a secluded place and performed austerities for 12,000 years, exposing yourself to bitter rains and cold and heat, and eating only dry leaves and fruits from the ground. You endured so much. The whole time, your hearts were completely immersed
in worshiping me. I appear before you in this very form that you're seeing today. And I offered you any benediction. And you didn't even ask for liberation. Such motherly and fatherly love for me. Only benediction you asked for is that you could have a child just like me. So in that birth, Devaki, Yurishi, I was born of your womb. I descended as the avatar of Prishnigarbha. You served me as your mother. And in my next birth, you took the forms of Aditi and Kashyapa. I became your child again as Urukrama. In that birth, I was in the form of a little dwarf. Therefore, I was called Vamana as Krishna. I would have to take birth again. After this third incarnation of mine through you, I can return to my eternal spiritual abode. Sure, I am going to appear as an ordinary child with two arms. Secretly take me at this very moment and exchange me for the daughter that was born to Yashoda. And in your life, no matter what may happen to you, always fix your mind on and you will become perfect. Right before their eyes, opulent form of transformed spider. Just so much. She knew that baby may get hungry during the journey to Mathura, so she fed her. She fed the child milk. Amazing thing. This whole birth ceremony, by the order of the Lord, Yogamaya, made everyone fall asleep. Kamsa was asleep. All the guards were asleep. Everyone was asleep. Except Vasudeva and Devaki. Miraculously, all the chains on Vasudeva's body just... And the doors opened. So, sleeping, snoring like anything. Child, raining that night with lightning and thunder, Shesha appeared. Came to the river Yamuna. Very, very swift current. Vasudeva was going, or other, the current was as such. And into the Yamuna, intensified and increased Vasudeva's love. Shri puts his divine so many situations just to increase the intensity of our love. Just moving around, trying to find his child, and they just fell. After six slain children, and one miscarriage, finally the child that they've been waiting for is born. It falls in the river. Vasudeva's looking at Krishna's arrangement. He finds, he picks him. Bhagavad Goswami explains from the Gopal Shuna Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Prabhupada quotes him, explain what happened here. History review. I'm going to go back, give a more comprehensive view of what was taking place at this moment. Vasudeva's entering into Gokul. Generations before, there was a great king, Rishi dynasty. His name was Devamida. Devamida was an ocean of divine qualities. Two wives. One was a Kshatriya, like him, Vaishya lady. And he had several children from each of those wives. Kshatriya wife, Surasena, was born. Surasena became king of that whole dynasty. In fact, the whole province that he ruled was known for generations and generations as the province of Sura. Meanwhile, the child born from the Vaishya mother, her wife, Janya, very natural inclination toward agriculture and taking care of it. And he was given the land of Mahavan to rule over as the king of the Vaishyas. He was also an ocean of divine qualities. Babe, or Surasena, I'm sorry, Surasena and Arjanya, very, very best of friends. Arjanya, I mean, Surasena, Kshatriya, and Basu, and Arjanya had thousands and thousands, millions of cows. Everyone loved him. Arjanya had five sons. Vananda, Abhinanda, Nandan, Abhinandan, and Nandana. Grew up, time for Arjanya to turn over king.
kingship of the Braja, or the assembly of Vaishyas. To be the king of Braja, he was going to give it to his eldest son, Upananda. Called Vasudev, Gargamuni, and all great personalities for this auspicious ceremony. He surprised everyone. First he accepted, and then right in front of everyone's eyes, he went and turned over the kingship to his younger brother, Nanda. Usually, brothers fight over power and control and wealth. Yes, even today, what to speak of them? But Upananda said, Nanda Maharaj is more qualified than me. He has totally conquered me by his love. I want to give him. I want to be his servant. Raj was very shy, and he resisted. He said, no, you're my elder brother. I want to serve you. And they were fighting over who would serve each other. And ultimately, everyone agreed that, yes, Nanda Maharaj, you should be our king. It is Upananda's desire. We all want to serve you. King Brajendra Nanda. Rajendra, I'm sorry. Rajendra, the king of... The coward man. Yashoda. So much love in her heart. She was the very embodiment of auspiciousness. Wherever she was would be ultimate fame. Yashoda. Married Yashoda. Everyone was so eager. Child to be born. Years passed. Children. Yashoda barren? And impotent? Why no children? Doesn't make sense. Why no children? All of Braj Bhumi was in anxiety. All the relatives, Upananda, Abhinanda, Sunanda, they were all performing yajnas. Yashoda, they have a child. Child was being born. To Yashoda that I don't yajnas, that's what's going to bring a child. Worship Lord Narayan for a child. That Odyssey Vrata for one fool to worship Lord Narayan, blessing of having a child. To have a child. Discuss amongst each other. Why do we yearn for a child so deeply? Why is this? Couldn't ascertain. Dad's longing they had for a child. Expressed to Yashoda Mai. I had a most unbelievable vision in my dream. I dreamed that I saw this beautiful child. He had a complexion like a tamal tree, like a monsoon cloud. Beautiful, beautiful, looks like eyes. He was the embodiment of all beauty. And he was sitting on your lap, and he was playing and making all kinds of pranks. I totally fell in love with that child. I can't think of any other child except that child. Yashoda Mai said, I had the exact same dream as you. And my mind is totally fixed now on that child. Nanda and Yashoda, 24 hours a day, just meditated on the child that they saw in that dream. Odyssey brought a child, sister. And then from the mind of Nanda, from the heart of Nanda, was transferred to the heart of Yashoda. Yashoda saw something come, turned into Yashoda's boy, entered into Yashoda's heart. She woke up the next morning and she was pregnant. Everyone in Braj Bhumi was celebrating. Yashoda Mai is going to have a child. She grew, anticipation was growing in Krishna's mind. Exactly at the same moment, Krishna appeared from the womb of Devaki in Mathura. Yashoda Mai. And but because Yashoda was so much by Yogamaya's potency tired from child, she forgot what she saw, whether it was a boy or a girl or what. She just fell asleep. Krishna just appeared, and Yogamaya appeared, and Yashoda just fell asleep. Krishna's expansion, his Vasudev expansion from Mathura. And the Vasudev Krishna that Vasudev was holding pushed into the body of Krishna, Yashoda. Vasudev didn't even see what was happening. Got there was just a little girl pushing it down and picked up. Yoga. Turned across Yamuna, back to the prison cell of Kamsa, All the chains just went back on. And all the gates locked. Child cried. Little lion cried. She cried. She woke up all the guards. Immediately the guards ran to Kamsa. The child is born, and Kamsa was also in this yoga nidra state. He came running down. His hair was all disheveled. Eyes were red with wrath. Baby in Devaki's arms. Devaki was embracing her little baby, daughter, infant. She was weeping, crying. She begged Kamsa, "Please, you've already killed 6 of my children. You're my brother. I'm your sister. I beg you for one gift. Just let me keep this daughter. She's a girl. You have nothing to fear from a girl. It's supposed to be the son that kills you. Please give me this one gesture of mercy. I've suffered so bad. How could you dare to kill an innocent little infant girl? I beg you. Have pity on me." She was weeping. She was crying. She was begging in desperation. Kamsa was so cruel. He grabbed her right out of Devaki's arms and laughed very loudly. Ah! Got on his knees. The great Kamsa got on his knees, and with his mighty arms he lifted that child up, about to dash her into a splattering mess against a rock. But as he lifted his arm, Yogamaya slipped out from his clasp. Into the sky and manifested her form as God, riding on a lion, dressed in jewels and ornaments and precious garments. She had 8 arms, holding swords and daggers and bows and arrows and clubs. A sight to see. She spoke, "Kamsa. Kamsa, you cruel-hearted fool. It's too late. You have persecuted and tortured your sister and brother-in-law for all of these years. Let me tell you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been born, and he's somewhere else. Now give up your miserable wrath to your innocent sister." Yogamaya. It was a sobering event for Kamsa. In the words of Yoga, King, repentant. He's sober. What have I done to my own sister? What have I done to my brother-in-law? They're so affectionate to me, and I've murdered 6 of their children. He started to cry. "Baby, Kamsa." And he begged forgiveness. He got quite philosophical about it. Faltering voice, he said, "Nandan Yashoda, please forgive me. Please don't be angry with me, because after all, death of your 6 children was your destiny. Destiny is very difficult to reverse. But we're not our bodies, and these children were not our bodies, and the soul can never be killed. So please don't be sad about the death of the 6 children that I gave you. Please be happy." So Devaki, his head on their feet, and begged them for forgiveness. Devaki, such Vaishnavas, their heart of hearts, they forgave him. They had no, they were not inimical. "Yes, it was our destiny. You are an instrument of our destiny. We have no blame for you." And they showered him with affection and love from their hearts. Kamsa released them. "Please be free. What about those 6 children? They were, and why they were killed by Kamsa?" Very instructive. God explains. Background to that story. One of the great sages, born of Brahma's mind, Arichi. She had 6 sons. Time gives us a good instruction of not to do Vaishnava Purana. Time Lord Brahma chased after his own daughter, Vak, desire to enjoy her. Him so passionate. And as he was approaching her for passionate pleasure, 6 six sons of Marici saw it, and they criticized Brahma. What are you doing? All the other sages and rishis were also saying, Brahma, don't do this. Please don't do this. You are a guru. You are a father. You are supposed to be setting the example for everyone. Vishnu wanted to show us, even Brahma, the association of others to guide them properly. So Brahma, hearing the sages and rishis speak, he became sober. But the six sons of Marici, they criticized Brahma. The others, they were just respectfully trying to serve him, criticized him. And because of that aparad, they had to take their births as the sons of demons. They were the grandchildren of Hiranyakashipu. Went to perform tapasya to get powers. Didn't ask for Hiranyakashipu's permission, so he was outraged. Really one of those fathers, such a wanted to lord it over his children on every level. You dare to perform tapasya without my direction, without my blessings? Curse them to be killed by their own father. Six children became sons of Kalanami. Happened to be Kamsa in his previous birth. Kalanami and Kamsa are the same person. It's Kamsa, their own father. But in killing them, he actually liberated them. Go back to their original position. Wonderful. Narada Muni knew all this. He knew that those six kids, they wanted to be killed so they could just get out of all these demoniac births and go back to their divine original positions. Demigods. Shuna Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Prabhupada explain symbolism behind this historical event. Devaki represents bhakti, devotion. Six sagarbhas represent elements from Krishna's appearance within our heart. The six anartas, these six children represents lust, the desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. When lust is unfulfilled, the next son comes, anger, envy, arrogance, greed, and illusion. These are the six enemies of every devotee. These are the six enemies that attack our bhakti. How? How to kill these enemies? This is the secret that our acharyas reveal. And Devaki, the devotee, has fear of material existence. In that fear, she takes shelter of Krishna, and the enemies are destroyed. Kamsa represents fear of material existence. Because of Devaki, bhakti, her fear of Kamsa, material energy, lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion were killed. Afraid of material existence, the devotee takes shelter of Krishna. Very famous story. Srila Prabhupada was worshipping his deity, worshipping his little Radhakrishna deities. So what are you praying? He said, I am praying to Radha and Krishna to save me. Now you may ask, why would a great Paramhamsa who's aloof from mind the same prayer in the songs of Bhakti Vinayotam Das Thakur, the six Goswamis, they're all praying like ordinary people. I is very strong. Krishna, save me from Maya. That's the humble nature of a devotee. The more advanced you become, the more you realize how powerful Maya is and make shelter of Krishna. The humility of a saint. It's also the example that saintly people are giving to us. Srila Prabhupada also said something else that's very, very instructive. He said, the problem with you Western people, devotees, is you do not have sufficient fear of Maya. Maya's like fire. Dealing with Maya, and we have to deal with Maya, especially in a preaching movement. Deal with the senses and the objects of the senses. We may have to deal with money, and we have to deal with other people and so many other things. It's like fire. You don't play with fire. Eat fire. In the winter, eat fire to heat your house. You need fire to cook your food. You have to be very careful about that fire. If you don't control the fire properly, instead of heating the house, it will burn the house. Instead of cooking your food, we'll cook you. You will be its food. If you control fire nicely, it cooks your food. If you don't control fire nicely, you become its food. Very, very, very careful. Can't be whimsical. We can't be inattentive. Give Maya an inch and she'll take your whole life. It's easier to be a strict devotee. Actually easier. Once you're strict, you've made your statement. You know what you have to do. But when you're not so strict, then Maya plays all kinds of games and tricks with you, and soon you realize, where am I? Where's Krishna? What happened? Maya can imperceptibly steal Krishna from our heart. Being afraid of material nature doesn't mean that devotees are schizophrenic, paranoid people. Just always afraid. Because we have a fear of Maya, we take shelter of Krishna. And when we take shelter of Krishna, at his feet we become fearless. And we become fearless because we take shelter of Lord Krishna. Fear actually brings us fearlessness. We don't have that proper fear. Shelter of Krishna. The six sons of Marichi represent the six Anartas. And we're slain from our heart, sincerely taking shelter of the holy name, sage of Kali. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And the impediments of our heart are removed. Dust of the mirror of the mind is cleansed. And then Balaram. Through the message of the Guru, Balaramji gives us spiritual strength. He gives us, fills us with pure devotion. Vasudeva, Devaki were free. Hamsa, Alice, called a conference with his chief ministers and told him exactly what had happened. And they told Hamsa, don't do this. You are so powerful, you are so great, you have nothing to fear. Vishnu is born somewhere. That baby just told you that Vishnu is already born, the same moment. Therefore, send us all out. Mission of killing every single child that has been born in your kingdom. Dana, Trinavarta, Prasura, Boma. I mean, all these demons. All Kamsa's cohorts. They all went down and started terrorizing. They stopped all the Brahmins from doing their yagyas. They were killing every baby they could find. Shodamai woke up. She was laying at her side. Shodamai saw a beautiful face of Krishna, and that lovely smile, her heart just flooded with vatsalya rasa. She just embraced that little baby, and the baby was so happy in her arms. Servants of Yashoda went, started celebrating like they're happy. The child has been born, And Rini was right there. He sent one beautiful lady, to go tell Nandamarch the good news. It was just the time when the cows, it was early, cows were they were just being milked, which is a very auspicious time. Go a place right at the time when the cows are being milked is considered so auspicious. So she came just as the cows were being milked. She was so excited. She couldn't even talk. She was so excited. Everyone was in ecstasy. As soon as Nanda Maharaj saw her, he understood. My child has been born. In so much ecstasy, he started giving that lady all kinds of gifts and cows and whatever he had. Somebody gives you good news. Tradition to shower them with gifts and blessings. Nanda Maharaj, he was trying to go as fast as he could to see that little baby, but as he'd take a step and then he would just be swooning and he'd fall down and he'd take another step and he'd swoon and he'd fall down and he would somehow or other, he jumped and Yashoda covered with a little curtain. Finally, Raj saw Yashoda. Nanda looked at Yashoda. All the Brijavasis looked at each other. That moment that they have been praying for years was ultimately Krishna. Shodananda and Anshoda, it's the little baby in Nandamara's arms, in ecstasy. The whole Braj Bhumi came together to celebrate Nandotsava. Brahmins chanting and ladies dancing and musicians playing all kinds of auspicious instruments. Everyone was dressed in their most beautiful garments, all curious colors. Everyone's hearts fading, with eyes were weeping with tears, smiling and laughing and all singing the glories of Gopal. Nanda Maharaj just gave so many gifts to everyone to celebrate Gopal in simultaneous ecstasy, because when you love the Lord, you love each other. It's a symptom. If you love God, you love everyone. Vrijabhasis had such deep, profound, infinite love for each other because their love was centered in Krishna. They started jubilantly dancing and singing and throwing yogurt on each other and butter on each other. That moment, Nandotsav, 1896, Srila Prabhupada should take birth. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Radha Nila Madhava ki jai. Go Premanandi.
His Holiness Ramana Swami Maharaj ki
jai.
Thank you very much. And now on this most auspicious occasion, Sri Sri Radha Nila Madhava will appear.